Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. The last school year ended with students and teachers doing everything virtually. Next month, it appears that schools in South Dakota will reopen, which is what most people want, right? With that opening, of course, comes challenges, though. So what are they, and what do parents and teachers need to know? Dana Livermont is an executive committee member of the South Dakota Education Association, and she joins us now with more. Dana, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me today.
So we'll cut right to it. What are the most common questions that you're hearing most from parents and also from teachers about the upcoming school year?
Yeah, so I think as we think about the fall, there are a ton of questions swirling in the minds of our parents and our educators. And I think everybody just wants a clearly articulated plan from their school about what to expect. So I know a lot of the questions that we're hearing is, you know, what will social distancing look like in a school, especially when we have classrooms that have up to 30 students, or what does that look like in a lunchroom or a PE class? Schools are debating whether students and educators will need to wear masks. So that's a question that people are having. And will there be better access to testing in the event that there is possibly, you know, cases in a school and they need to do some contact tracing and things like that? And there needs to be a clearly articulated plan about what exactly will happen if there is an outbreak within a school or within a district, so families can prepare for that. So I think right now there's a lot of questions out there, but what we need is for all of the important stakeholders to come to the table to have a conversation about what that looks like, and there needs to be clear communication.
Mm-hmm. And what has that communication looked like for the most part? I'm guessing by the way that we're opening with this is that the line of communication hasn't been the clearest throughout all of this.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's hard right now because with summer, and we have a rally coming up and a couple other events happening this summer, we don't really have a complete grasp of what our cases are going to look like as we come into the fall semester here. But the communication really needs to be happening really clearly articulated, because in order for us to be successful here in the fall, we have to establish some trust. So our school staff personnel need to be able to trust their administrators that they're making the right decisions for safety. Our families need to be able to trust our staff, and our students need to be able to trust each other that when they go to school, everybody's doing the right thing to make sure that everybody stays safe. So we are hearing that different districts are polling or surveying their families, which is a great step to hear from the voices of our families. But we also need educators to be at the table to help determine those plans, because they're going to be the ones in the most vulnerable positions as schools open. And not just our classroom teachers. We have custodial staff that's going to have to be charged with keeping our schools sanitized and clean. And we are going to have front-end staff, like our clerical staff, who are interfacing with the public. There's a variety of people within the school who need to have a voice in the plans that come out.
Mm-hmm. We had with Avera Medical Group, Dr. Jawad Nazir on the program yesterday, and I asked about this idea of reopening schools. And of course, he said safety is the prime goal with everything, but knowing the importance of reopening schools as is possible, really it's about keeping an eye on things, because the situation can change very rapidly. Keeping an eye on your local case counts even before it comes into the school and things like that. What are you hearing as far as, you know, contingency plans if cases do rise after the rally, for instance, or in other areas? Are schools, do you get the impression districts are kind of waiting for something, for a case to appear within the building, or what are some of these plans looking like?
You know, it really does vary from district to district, and we would expect that in South Dakota. We know that Rapid City School District and Sioux Falls School District look quite a bit different than, the school district in Mobridge Pollock or, you know, in Pierce. So we have a variety of school districts who have had different, cases within their counties or within their communities. So we expect all of the plans to look a little bit different. But we are hearing a lot of plans that include pretty articulated ideas about, okay, if we have one case in a school, here's what's going to happen. Or if we have multiple cases within a school, here's what's going to happen. And I think those ones are the best because I think as humans, we can all relate to this idea that when we don't know what to expect, it creates anxiety. That creates anxiety for our students and for our teachers and for our families. And so the more that we can communicate exactly what is going to happen in every one of those scenarios, the more that people are going to feel better about sending their children to school, and everything will just work more smoothly.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about teachers for a little while, hearing about some teachers I know having stress dreams, having nightmares about the upcoming semester with a lot of that uncertainty and concern. What are some options for teachers who are concerned, and maybe options for teachers who might be in a higher risk category?
Well, again, that can vary by school district. We know that some school districts like Rapid City are looking at the possibility of offering some in-class learning, but also the option possibly of some online learning for those families that that are feeling more comfortable with that option. And I think those educators who maybe have health risks or just feel more comfortable not being at school may be good fits for those positions, but not every school district will have that option. So that is something that, you know, HR departments and school districts are having to work through with their educators is, what are your options? And unfortunately, for some of our teachers, they don't feel like they have an option. It's either you go to school in a classroom where you maybe don't feel safe, or you look for, you know, another career or take a leave of absence. And that's really unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about the role of the South Dakota Education Association as districts and as teachers are trying to make some of these difficult decisions.
Well, what we're trying to do through the work of our, you know, our member leaders and also some of our staff is to work with our association leadership in our locals to talk about here's what the CDC is recommending for safety guidelines. Here are some ways that you can talk about leave so that if, you know, staff members do become sick, what are their options to be able to stay home and to self-isolate and you know, not run the risk of infecting others. So we're trying to work with those association leaders to help them have some talking points and to know what are the best practices to be able to talk to their districts and come up with the best plan for that community.
Mm-hmm. And as we've said throughout this conversation, this really it's going to vary district by district. Things will vary by a lot of different variables. But with that being said, how much is your association in conversation with the State Department of Health or some of those broader authorities as far as how we're looking at the fall?
Yeah. So the South Dakota Education Association is open to any sorts of conversations with the Secretary of Education and the Department of Education. I feel that right now there are a lot of school districts really looking to the Department of Education for some leadership and some guidance. And they have, designed a website that has some guidance. But I think having a clear plan articulated from the state would be helpful to our school districts.
Talk to us about the ways that the pandemic has highlighted the issue of equity or maybe inequity in our education system around the state.
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question because I think one thing that educators across the state can agree on is that having home learning and students not coming to schools really highlighted some of the inequities that we already knew existed within our school, but really kind of brought them to light. And some of those inequities that really affected our students was, you know, access to reliable technology or high-speed internet. We had a lot of families that were trying to do distance learning but didn't have internet or, you know, a laptop computer and a printer. You know, we had students trying to do homework on cell phones. And additionally, we have a lot of families that experience food insecurity and rely on our schools to help make sure their students are well fed and have the nutritional needs met. So by having students at home, we started to realize that a lot more than we already did. I think it just brought that to light. So anytime we come to school in the fall, we have, you know, kind of a spectrum of where students are at in different skills. There's, you know, high achievers and low achievers and in different areas, and we support all of them and help them all grow. But given the spring semester and some of the inequities that our students experience, those gaps are going to be larger, and we need to develop plans that keep, you know, all of our disadvantaged students in mind. So as districts are building plans, they need to be thinking about, you know, how are we supporting our students of color? How is this plan going to impact our students with disabilities? You know, are our English language learners coming in and needing some different support than maybe we had provided before? So there's a variety of groups of students that we really need to keep in the forefront of our minds as we develop plans, so we make sure that every student in South Dakota has access to a strong educational opportunity.
Mm-hmm. It's important to remember with these contingency plans, you need contingencies for contingencies, because not everyone is starting at the same level with, as you said, like a reliable internet and things like that at home. I know that was an issue in the Sioux Falls School District. And I remember seeing reports in the Rapid City, I think, reported around 25% of students the district lost track of altogether once things moved completely online.
Exactly. Yeah. So we need to be thinking about these things. And just like you say, having contingency plans and additional support. So how are we going to support our classroom teachers so they can support the variety of needs in their classrooms?
Mm-hmm. For parents who aren't hearing from their districts in the way that they want to, what are ways for parents to get involved with these decisions and stay up to date on how the fall is shaping up for their kids?
Well, parents absolutely have a right to have a voice in their school districts and the things that are happening in their schools. So some of the things I would recommend is attending a school board meeting. A lot of them are happening virtually now, but you can still either join in through a live broadcast or through a Zoom call and provide your voice to that process, because you know, a lot of times our school leaders who are making these decisions, they're doing the best that they can and trying to make a really difficult decision here. But the more input and voices they have, the better decisions they're going to make. So reaching out to your school board members, you can also usually reach them via email, which are usually posted on your school websites. And then also, you know, reaching out to your administrators. So if you have a relationship with your principal, if you had that when you were in class, reaching back out to principals and other school staff to just say, hey, you know, we haven't really heard what the plan is, and we really need to have that in our hands so we know what's going to happen in the fall.
Hmm. And Dana, as we close, what else do people watching the education world need to keep an eye on? I know there's been conversations about federal funding in question if schools don't reopen. How concerned should districts be about that, or how likely does that actually seem to be?
Well, the funding issue is definitely a concern for us, because as we need to, you know, have lower teacher to student ratios, we need to socially distance, that requires more staff. We're going to need access to PPE. We're going to need access to thermometers and hand washing stations. And all of that costs money. So we're really looking to the state to be able to provide some of that. But another thing I think to point out is that, you know, when our Congress passed the CARES Act, they were willing to step up and help businesses keep employees on the payroll, and it was vital to our economy. But now we need them to step up and help schools, so that way we have the personnel and the resources we need to keep schools safe. And so recently our U.S. House passed the HEROES Act, and it has come to the Senate, but it has not made it to the floor for any sort of debate or vote. And so we're really calling on our senators, including, you know, Senator Thune and Senator Rounds, to bring that up for discussion and support that legislation. And if they're not supportive of the current, you know, language of the HEROES Act, bring forth something else. But we need to have our senators talking about the funding, because it's greatly impacting schools, not just in South Dakota, but across our country.
My guest has been Dana Livermont. She's an executive committee member of the South Dakota Education Association. Dana, thanks for your time today. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much for having me.